Thank you for that. We're in Psalm chapter number 23 tonight. For several months, we've been on Sunday night in the book of Psalms, the Songs of Life, we're calling this. One of the things I do like about the book of Psalms when you read it is, as I've mentioned in the past, I like the honesty. Not that the Bible's dishonest, but the human emotions come forward and what's going on in their life, and it's transferred into the psalm, and God uses that to teach us things and teach us truths that'll help us in our life, and we can relate to some of the things that they are going through. This psalm is a very well-known psalm. Most of the time when this psalm is read in church, there's usually a body right here. And really, this psalm is not so much a funeral psalm, and it has a truth to teach us tonight. When we think about our lives, all of us have people in our life that we follow. We either purposely follow them to get help in our life, or we passively follow them, or by allowing them to influence us in their life. Sometimes we have friends that influence us, and friends are very, very influential. They really influence us. And then sometimes we choose mentors. There's someone we look at and say, this person, I want to get what they have in my life, so I purposely allow them to have influence in my life. Sometimes it's just by association, and some of those can be bad. We work somewhere where maybe there's some people that aren't not good Christians or whatever, and we allow them through their association to lead us. And so all of us have these type of things in our life. But when I say follow, I am saying we allow them to gain influence in our life. And when people gain influence in our life, in an essence and in sense, they are helping to direct our lives. Because everything that we learn and allow to become a part of our lives is going to drive us and lead us somewhere. Influence is the access that we give to someone to help determine our values and our views on life. That's why schooling is so important, when who we are allowing in a school situation or a church situation or whatever, and we allow them to share their views in such a way and their values that we start to incorporate that into our life. It can be for the positive and it can be for the negative. When I said it, they gain influence and they give direction. Direction is the path that I take in life, but that path is based on the influence that I've allowed in my thinking. Sometimes people will say, you just try to brainwash people. In a sense, that's not true, but in a sense, all of our brains need to be washed, right? We're not trying to brainwash anybody. We're trying to feed the truths of God's word into their life so that they will give God's word the place that it should have. So that's what's influencing them. That's what's giving direction. And the same people that say that, they're going somewhere else, and their brain, if that's what the word they want to use, brainwash, they're being brainwashed by something or somebody else. So many of us, we parrot what we hear in society. By the way, sometimes Christians parrot what they hear because they've never taken the time to get into the Bible for themselves. Say, well, I'm parroting the right thing. Well, I'm glad you're parroting the right thing, but you might want to get into it and figure out what it is for yourself. But we're talking about influence. Where you end up will be determined by how you view life and what you value in life. I can tell you what you value not by what you tell me, but by what you're doing in your life. Not by what you tell me, but where you're headed in life, or where you are at in life. So if that is all true, then it is vitally important that we follow the right people, the right influences, because it has direct effect on you and your future. Some people we've given limited access to influence us. It seems that so often we allow limited influence to the peoples or truths that ought to have open influence, and we give unfettered access to those that probably shouldn't have the right to influence us. They haven't earned it. So we must be careful who's influencing us. Now, how does that relate to Psalm chapter 23? Because really, there's one individual that needs to lead us and guide us and influence that will never lead us or guide us or influence us down a wrong path to a wrong destination. Of course, we know that that is the Lord. And if you've listened at all over the last few months as we've talked about being a disciple on Thursday night, you understand that we are not a disciple, we are not a true follower of Jesus Christ just because we're saved or just because we say we are. There's way more to it than that. We have to get past lip service when it comes to God being the one who actually leads us and actually allow him to lead us in our life. Now, as we get to Psalm chapter 23 tonight, these verses are well known. As I mentioned, more often than not, they are associated with a funeral. And by the way, there is comfort in them if you read them at a funeral. But I'll be honest with you, it is more a psalm for living than it is for the dead. It's more a song about life than it is about death. And we need to understand that. It was written by David as a testimony of how he could make it in life and how he could make it through difficult times. This life is not always easy. Things may go well, but if things are going well, there's influences that we need to be careful of. And if things aren't going well, we need encouragement. If there's a disaster, we need all of those things. And David wrote this psalm to help us. It talks about the valley of the shadow of death, which we understand. That was just something David went through on his journey. It was not his destination. There's much more to this psalm than that. It's about the leading of God in the lives of his people. That's why he talks about it twice. Twice the phrase is used. He leadeth me. And his leading is pictured throughout. If we had to group it, we would say this psalm is not about how to die. It's a psalm about how to live. And the key thought conveyed in this psalm about how we are to live is to let him lead in our life. That's what it's all about. We have to get past the place where we are just comfortable with being a Christian. We are just comfortable with carrying a Bible. We are comfortable with putting our time in church to the place where God is real in our life. And as we live our life each and every day, as we look down the road where we will be 10 years from now, that we let God take us on that journey so we will end up where we are supposed to be. We see that because the Lord is pictured as a shepherd. David understood this analogy because he was a shepherd himself. A shepherd leads, and we need God to be able to lead in our life. And by the way, if God's not leading our life, it is never his fault. It is always our fault. We are not allowing him to lead. The shepherd leads based on his knowledge, and God understands us very intimately. God knows everything about us, not just as a group, human, but God knows us individually, individually with our strengths, our weaknesses, and all of those different things. And it's good that he cares for us. Jesus also said that he was the good shepherd in John chapter 10 on two different occasions. So if God is a shepherd, God pictures us as, we mentioned this a few weeks ago, sheep. And sheep are dumb animals. And I found out that my favorite football team, the Rams, I didn't know Ram was a sheep until my daughter pointed out after church, and I was very disappointed. But then the way they've played the last few weeks, I kind of get it now. But sheep, that's not complimentary. Okay? In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out and saw much people, was moved with compassion towards them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. Jesus saw the group and the multitude, and he felt bad for them because they were in life like sheep animals that were defenseless, that have a tendency to get lost if they're on their own. They need constant care. They must be led. And here they were. They didn't have a shepherd. They were just drifting in life. And he wanted to do something about it. Now, what does that all mean for us? That means this. We, because we are sheep, we need God's leading in our life. We need to accept God's leading and let him lead us in this life. Where are you headed today? You think about it. Where are you headed? You may not, I have no idea where I'm going. What direction are you going in? That might help you to see where you're headed. But where are you going today? What if we, in submission, simply said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to be a, you know, again, I don't like the phrase. I'm a Christ follower. I just, you telling me that doesn't prove anything. We like these cute little evangelical phrases that mean nothing. I'm a Christ follower. Okay, no, you're either a Christian or you're not. If you're, we'll see if you're following Christ 5 years from now. But we ought to really all be followers of Christ. Where will we end up if I were to follow God in my life? Where would it lead me? You ever think about that? If I just say, you know what? I'm all in. Not half-hearted anymore. I'm going to be 100% going gung-ho for God. I'm going to follow wherever he leads me. Where would that take you? Well, I know some of the places it won't take you. Do you know it'll never take you to the wrong place? Sometimes see Chris like, man, I'm just at a really bad place in my life. And that happens sometimes. And I would kindly, I don't want to say it, but I would kindly, if I did say it, say the reason in your wrong place is because you've not let God follow you. Because he doesn't follow you on Instagram. You have not followed God, because if you did, you would not end up in a wrong place. I know it won't be a place that'll make me miserable. You know, the Bible tells us we're supposed to have joy in our life. If we don't have joy, that might be God's way of saying, hey, there's something wrong here. So it won't lead me to a place where I'll be miserable. It'll never be a place that's not best for me. And I know this, and we'll mention it in a few minutes, it will never lead me to a place where I'm a worse Christian than I should be. I don't know all the exact details about where you will end up if you follow God, but I know the essential direction that it will lead you. And as we look at the psalm tonight, I can answer a few of the places where God will lead you if you follow him. Some of the generalities. Let me mention, I believe there's 5 of them tonight. If we follow God, he will lead us. First of all, it will be to a place of supply. Look at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does the word want mean? The word want means lack. In other words, if I follow God and he is my shepherd and I'm following him, wherever he leads me, I will not lack. One of the main jobs of the shepherd was to make sure the sheep were taken care of. They needed food. They needed water. They needed a place to rest. They needed direction. They needed someone to care for them. Those were things that they could not naturally supply for themselves. And so they needed the shepherd to help them with those things. And the Lord, who is the right shepherd, will supply those things that we really need in life if we will simply follow him and get on his path. We will not lack anything that we need. Now, there's 2 big areas in life, and these are not original with me. I learned these a long time ago. There's 2 big areas of life where we have needs. One thing is we need security. People just naturally want security. We are a naturally insecure people. I'm glad that when it comes to salvation, God made it really clear that if we trust Christ, we are saved and we will never lose it. That's a good thing. Okay? Things have I written that ye may know. He wanted to, hey, that's not, I'm always amazed with people when you ask them, hey, you know for sure you die, you go to heaven. And they'll say, that's not something you can know for sure. And these are people that believe there's an afterlife and there's a good afterlife and a bad afterlife. And yet they're willing to roll the dice after they die and hope that they squeezed in. That's not how God wanted us to have security. There's a security in knowing that I've trusted Christ, and no matter what I do, and I'm not saying that so you go do crazy things, but you know what? It didn't depend on me to get saved, and it's never going to depend on me to keep being saved. God wants us to have security, but that security is more than just everlasting life. God wants us to have security in this life. How do we get that security? That security we're looking for, whether you're looking for financial security, whether you're looking for security in a relationship, whatever that is only found in God. But what we do is we try to find those in other things. We try to find our security in who we are. We try to find our, look, we live in a society now and people are finding their it's just in places where they're never going to get it. And anything that you try to get security from that is not from God is really nothing more than a sophisticated, false God. Security comes from God. We try, you know, we say on the back of our money, in God we trust, but we're trusting on the face on the front of the dollar, not on the back. Security. It only comes from God. And then another thing that he'll supply that we need significance. You've heard it before, but many years ago, USA Today, not one of my favorite papers, there's very few that really are, if any, but they asked a question, you know, what do you, if you could ask God any question, what would you ask him? And the number one answer by far was, what is my purpose in this life? People want to know that their life matters. People want to know that their life has meaning. That's only found in God. God supplies everything you need, and it's more than just your daily bread, and it's more than just, you know, food and raiment and all that. God supplies your most. Everything you need, you can have from God, and you, if you don't feel like you have it, it's because you're not following him, and you're not letting him lead you. The path he leads you down might be a different path than the path he leads me down, but on that path, no matter what direction it is, God supplies all our needs. Secondly, it will be a place of serenity. Look at verse 2. By serenity, I mean when we experience his peace. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Still waters. That, you know what comes to mind? Peace. Your brother Ross likes to go fishing. He tries to get me to go fishing. I'm not an ocean fisherman. You know what I like? I like lakes. And now they have to have fish in them. That's the little caveat right there. And I like getting out. We go up to Bishop's and just it's just beautiful, and there's a nice brook there, and it's peaceful. And there's fish in there that need to be caught. And they need to be thrown in a frying pan so somebody other than me can eat them. But it's just peaceful. Now that's a picture of life. God wants your life to be peaceful. There needs to be a serenity. And when we follow God, our life, we may not go home. Look, around our house, you're not going to go home very often. And there's either we're there, our kids are there, the grandkids are there, or our kids' friends are there. That doesn't mean there's not stuff going on in your life. You know what it means? In the midst of everything that's going on in life, you have a peace. By the way, this world is dying for that. If all I did was sit around and watch the news and this and that and see where this world is going and see all the bickering and see all the nonsense and all the lies and all the drama, and my stock was all in this world, I wouldn't have peace either. But thank God, in him, there is a great peace, because everything that happens, we know he is in control. Everything that happens, we know there is an afterlife. All of our eggs are not in this basket. So there's a serenity that comes. But we will only experience peace in life if we are in the right place in life. I feel sorry. Far too many people live with drama that they don't have to live with. We come and we have problems and things are going on. It's a lot of time it's a result of we've put ourselves in the place where there is no peace. God will never lead you to that path. And even if we're in the will of God and something's going on around us that's maybe not pleasant, maybe it's a trial he's allowing, in the midst of that, because we're right where God wants us, there's a peace. You know, Job, he went through a lot, but I think he had the peace of God. How else, when his wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" He's like, "You," and I think he wasn't being mean to her. I think she was only concerned for his health and all that was going on. He said, "You're speaking like one of the foolish. Are we only supposed to receive good from God and not get bad?" He understood what was going on. When his friends came, and I use the term loosely, his friends were great the first week because they didn't say anything. But once they opened their mouth, it's like, but you know what? How many times he testified to God's goodness? Peace. Thirdly, it will be a place of sanctification. Verse 3. He restoreth my soul. Restoration. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sakes. God's leading is very specific. There are very specific paths. Whether or not we get on that path is our decision. But he's there to lead us, and so we follow. Like the Egyptian, like the Israelites out of Egypt. God had a very specific path. Get over the Red Sea, get into the wilderness, go straight across to the Jordan River, cross the Jordan River, get into the Promised Land, and occupy. And they didn't want to follow that. They want to do their own thing. That's what we do so often. And when we do, we miss the place of sanctification. He leadeth me in the paths of what? Righteousness. How do we know that God's path is the right path? By the way we live. It's a right path because it'll lead us to live a right life. We want to live this thing called the American dream. Here's the lie of the American dream. You ready? You can be anything you want as long as you dream it. And as long as you are dedicated to it, you can achieve whatever you'll put your mind to. There's a leadership guru. His name is Seth Godin. He tells a story of a girl named Hannah Smith. She was one of 37 people who became a Supreme Court law clerk. He said that that year that she graduated from law school, there were 42,000 graduates, of which only 37 would become this Supreme Court clerk. She was one of the 37. And he gets up and says, any one of those 42,000 could have been one of the 37 if they would have just worked hard enough and got there. Can I just tell you something? That's a lie. What if they all worked equally hard? There was still only 37 openings. Sometimes we think, you're the American dream. You can become and do whatever you want. No, you can't. Some people just aren't very good at something. I want to be a basketball player, and it's not going to happen. Okay? You know, some of you, I want my child to be a doctor or a brain surgeon. If they don't have the skills, I don't care how hard they try, it's not going to happen. But I know this. I know that if they'll follow God, they'll get to exactly where they need to be. They won't. I want to. If 42,000 wanted to become a Supreme Court law clerk and they worked as hard as they could and they felt that was it and they didn't get there, they'd be disappointed. But there's one path for God, and when I follow it, I get there every single time. Get rid of this American dream where we've listened to our friend that says I should do this or that, and it's like, where's God going to lead me? He's going to, because if we start buying into the wrong dream, it affects the way we live our lives. Those two always go together. You see, the thing about following God's dream is you'll get to where God wants you to be, and not only that, in your lifestyle, you'll be the person that God wants you to be. Leads them. He leads them to the paths of righteousness. Understand this. God will never lead you down a path to a life that is sinful or destructive. That's not God. I've had people come, and I've been here, you know, you're here a long time, you see a lot of nonsense, you hear a lot of stuff from people. I'm just doing this and this, and it's some bizarre nonsense. This is just what God wants. No, it isn't. It's not what God wants, because it's not right. If something, and if you're following a path in your life, and that path is causing you to compromise in your faith, it's not the right path. If it's causing you to be less of a Christian than you used to be, it's not the right path. Because God's path and God's will isn't just some destination or some job. It encompasses who you are. The way we really follow God and get to where he wants us to be and do what he wants us to do is we live the way he wants us to live. Those two, look, this nonsense, like, it doesn't matter what your life is like as long as you get somewhere. That's a lie. Let me just say this. This is like a freebie. But if you're at a job somewhere and you have to lie to get ahead, that's not of God. If you have to do things and compromise your faith to be successful, that's not of God. It's not. He's never going to lead us outside of the path of righteousness. So that's why our life... How do I know I'm following God? Let me ask you, do you strive to live a life that's closer and holier than you did yesterday? If not, that's not God's path for your life. Well, you know, I want to go this and I'm going to be here, and it starts to weigh on you. That's not of God. You need to stay on the path. It's a path of sanctification. God's will and the way you live will match up. Number four, it's a place of safety. Verse four. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Now, as we get to the second half of the psalm, the way that David interacts with God changes here. He goes from he to thou. He goes from describing the shepherd to start to talk to him. That's what he's doing here. He says that God will be with him. He's telling God that God will be with him because he knows that he will. There are so many harmful things in this world. Aren't you glad when we follow God, there's safety? That's part, really, of the path of righteousness. We know that if we follow God and we are in his will, there are so many things that we miss. What was one of the jobs of the shepherd? It's to protect the flock. That's why if they kept escaping, we heard the story where they would break their legs to keep them. Why? Because they would escape, and they're ignorant. They think that's the best path. There could be a wolf or some animal over there that's going to eat them alive. And they think that, man, by going over there, there's danger over there. Did you know, as we mentioned this morning, there are benefits to obedience to Scripture. You know what the benefit is? A lot of things you miss in life. Don't ever buy this lie that Satan whispers in your ear. If you follow God, you're missing out. Unless you realize what you're missing out on. You're missing out on nonsense. You're missing out on drama. That's why I like our teenagers, and all of them ought to be on a bus route. Okay? You say, I'm just concerned. My children are going to see things I don't want them to see. I want my kids to see it. I want my kids, and I'm not saying everybody on the bus route's bad, but some of the areas we go in, they're going to see some families that are in turmoil. I like that. I want them to see that this is what happens when someone lives a life, not in a judgmental way, but so they get it that there is a benefit to being a Christian. There is a benefit to saying, I'm going to live this life. If we follow this, there are so many, we're all going to die. We're not going to get away with that. We're all going to have trials in this life and things that come our way that are unpleasant. But if we follow God, none of those things will be self-inflicted. Thank God for that. The Scripture's protective. It's not keeping us from something that is good for us. It's protecting us from things that would harm us. We've got to have that mindset. Following God is a place of safety. And lastly, I have two more. Number five, it's a place of surplus. Look at verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. That's like, it doesn't mean the cup got ran over, okay? It runs over. It's overly full. There's, you know, it's like, you know, he gives to us pressed down, shaken together. Let's get as much as we can in there. And he's saying, I'm not only getting as much as I can, I'm getting overflow. I'm getting abundance. That's what God has for us, a surplus. David looks at God's provision and says, it's more than just that. I'm getting abundantly blessed. How much blessed? Look, and it's not a selfish thing, but I'm just of the opinion, God's offering something, I'll take it. Okay? Look, if you came to me and said, I'll give you $10 or I'll give you $100, I'm not going to be spiritual. It's not spiritual to say, give me the 10. I don't want to be tipped. Yeah, give me the 100. In fact, give me 2. Okay? If you're offering it, I'm taking it. If someone says, I'm going to buy you a new car, you can have a Dodge or a Ford. Well, I'm going to take the Dodge. I don't want a car that has to be towed. But I'm going to take what you're offering the best. If God's offering something good, why would we not want it? Why would we want a life where we look at it and say, I don't deserve this. This is way better than I ever could have thought. You're not going to get that. We're all looking for that, but you know what we're doing? We want to take our own path to get there. And let me just say, you may think you're going down that road. There's going to be a detour. You may think the thing, why is there so much drama and this and that and this and that? It's like, I don't need that. Let me just follow God. Let me just get what he has for me. Why don't we get the overflow, get the abundance? Lastly, it's a place of settlement. Look at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word dwell means settle. You could say the house of the Lord, the temple, but let's just put it out. We're just settling in the place where God's presence is. I'm like, I want to be close to God. I want to know him. Are you close to God? I come to church every Sunday. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Do you have a relationship with him? I mean, do you really want to know him? Do you really want to get in his word and say, God, speak to me today? Do you really want to be able, when there's a problem, or just spend time like, Lord, I love you today? Do you want to settle in his presence? Or you just want just enough of God to get by? By the way, there's no such thing. God wants 100%. But are you settled in his presence? I like the, he goes, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Sounds like it was a lifelong thing for David. Not just, I'm here this week and I'm gone next week. I'll serve you this year, but who knows where I'll be 5 years from now. I wish we would just be dedicated to God. I don't want to be mean, but I don't understand that. I don't understand how we can't just be faithful to God. I don't get that. It's not that hard. Just like, I'm going to just do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be all the time. Do you know anybody can do that? Not that hard. I want to continue. I want to be there. But look at the blessing here. If we do that, goodness and mercy follow us. We follow God and something follows us, goodness and mercy. It's like the more we follow God, this just comes on us. This stuff is just there in our life. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore, forevermore. If we would just stay close to God, we would be all right. We would have joy. We would have the pleasures he wants us to have. Things would go better for us. But you know, we allow so many things to push us away. Where are you headed in life tonight? I know this, if we will follow God, it'll be all right. Goodness and mercy will follow us. You know, I think of, it's Pigpen, right? The Peanuts, that has the cloud of dirt that's always around. How many know? It's like always around him. Like wherever he goes, it just follows him. Wouldn't it be just nice to know that I'm following God and goodness and mercy are just around me all the time? Not the dirt, okay? The goodness and the mercy. Wouldn't it be nice to know that, man, I'm not perfect. I'm trying to follow him in my life, and it just seems the good things happen. Not perfect, but even when bad things happen, God uses it for good. But it doesn't happen if we don't follow him. So look at your life tonight. If you don't have these things I mentioned, could it be that maybe we're not following him the way we should? Or maybe in our path of following him, we tend to deviate more often than we should. That's not God's plan. This psalm isn't for the day of your death. This psalm is for every day of your life. And I hope that you'll let God lead you, because he'll always lead you to a good place. Let's all stand together this evening. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute.